Today we're talking about discerning the spirit of the Antichrist or counterfeits. You know, one of the funniest stories about a counterfeit that I've read in the last few years was one from several years ago. It was about a zoo in China. And evidently this zoo came upon hard times economically, and so they lost some of their animals. But they wanted to keep the zoo open. So what they did is they put in counterfeit animals to replace the animals in the display. So for example, in the reptile section of the zoo, in the reptile cage, there weren't any snakes. So they took these sea cucumbers and made them look like snakes. In place of a leopard, they put a snow fox. In the wolf display, they put a husky dog. But the funniest thing was, there was a Chinese woman and her son who were visiting the zoo, and they went to the display that said African lion. And they're looking at this creature, and all of a sudden it starts barking at them. And they said, "What is up with that?" And it turns out it was a Tibetan mastiff. And we'll put a picture up where you can see what it looks like. Counterfeits. And it really made this woman upset. In fact, she said, "This zoo is absolutely cheating us. I paid good money for the tickets, and I feel defrauded." Well, how do you discern between a dog and a lion? What do you look for? How do you figure that out? But more importantly, how do you discern between a biblical teacher and a false prophet? That's what we're going to talk about today, because even more important than that is, can we discern the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world? Well, the big idea today is that true believers discern and reject the spirit of the Antichrist. Instead, they yield to the leading of the Spirit of Christ. So open up your Bibles, open up God's Word to 1 John 2. We'll be looking at several verses in here, so follow along. First thing we're going to look at is 1 John 2, 26, 27, then we'll come back up to the top. And really what I want to say, first of all, and this is encouraging, is you do not have to be deceived. You don't. Well, let's read verse 26 of 1 John 2. "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." That's the key. And then verse 20 says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." So isn't this good news that you do not, as a believer, you do not have to be deceived? Why? Because the Bible says you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the anointing was done in a symbolic way. If somebody was being anointed as a king or a prophet, they would take a flask of oil and pour it over their head, and it was symbolic of the Spirit of God anointing them. But it was only temporary. We know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given and taken back. In the New Testament days, since the day of Pentecost, when someone truly receives Christ, they are anointed. They are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And that is permanent. And then as they yield to him, moment by moment, day by day, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And because we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, indwelled by him, his name's in the New Testament, right? He is teacher. He is counselor. He is our guide, the one who walks with us, right? He guides us into all wisdom. And so we do not have to be deceived as true believers. But notice also, as we keep reading, as the end times approach, many antichrists will rise up. I keep reading in 1 John 2, beginning in verse 18. "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard the that the Antichrist or that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists, so plural, right, have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. By the way, it was the last hour since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We are in the last days. The church age is all leading up to the end times, but we are in the last days. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So notice in this passage, we're not talking about the Antichrist, of the book of Revelation. If we were, I mean, we know some things about him. We know that John received this revelation recorded in the book of Revelation from Jesus, and it is revealed to him there that symbolically this Antichrist, he's called the beast. Well, John saw this beast coming up out of the sea and symbolically representing not really how he looks as a man, but his authority and all of that. He had 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 crowns in his horns, and men worshipped Satan, the dragon, who had given authority to the beast, the Antichrist. And they also worshipped the beast and said, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? And so we know that this Antichrist, well, it goes on to say that for 42 months, he is given authority to attack God's people. In fact, he blasphemes not only God, but he blasphemes heaven, and he blasphemes God himself and his name, and also believers in heaven. And he's given power to war against believers, right? And it says that all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Now, that's a scary thing. They will worship the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life. Let me ask you, do you have confidence that your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life? That when that book is opened in the end times, on that last day, that your name will be there because you've put all your hope and trust, saving faith, in Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Well, I pray that it is written there. And if not, what are you waiting for? You can't write your own name there, but God can, based on him calling you and regenerating your heart and you responding to him in faith and in belief. So this is not the capital A Antichrist that we're talking about right now. I mean, there have been people throughout history in the early days, in the days of John, Domitian, the Roman emperor. I mean, they thought, well, John is writing about him solely as the Antichrist. Later on, it was Hitler or Stalin, right? There's been lots of theories. Well, my point is that people are so concerned with the Antichrist of the end times, maybe they should be more concerned with the Antichrists that have been around forever and will continue to come around. Maybe they should be more worried about or concerned about the spirit of the Antichrist that is rampant in our nation. So, the Antichrists will be many. The Antichrist will appear to be one of us. We read that in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. I mean, going back to history, right? Hitler claimed to be a good Lutheran. Joseph Stalin, the mass murderer that he was claimed to be a Christian. You remember years ago, David Koresh down in Texas. Oh, he talked about Jesus all the time. False prophets. They were a type of Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. And verse 19 tells us that they will leave the true faith, and they will go out from us. Now, this doesn't mean that they were really born again, saved, and they gave up their faith. Somehow they could unseal themselves. No, this just means that they truly were never, ever saved. They were never truly born from the inside out, never regenerated, never sealed by the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. Well, the mark of these people, the insignia, if you will, how we can discern who they are, is it we look for the number 666? No, it's not that. It's anyone who leads others to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look at verses 22 and 23. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. We've read that now twice. God is trying to make a point here through his inspired word that we have to be on guard, watching for people who would deny the divinity, the deity of Jesus Christ. And I get it. We're not here to bash any other religion, but there are cults out there who are doing this very thing, who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. I've met some wonderful Jehovah's Witnesses in the past, wonderful people, but they're doing this. They teach that Jesus Christ is not truly God. Oh, Savior, yes, but God, no. That he is a created being beneath God, and he was kind of adopted to be God's son at his baptism, and he's a creation of God, the Father Jehovah, and he's actually, as a created being, he's the brother of, for example, the Archangel Michael. Well, that's what John is talking about, that there will be false teachers who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And so we've got to understand that over the ages, there will continue to be many antichrists. And so we see also third here, to be discerning. I mean, that's our response. We have to wake up. We've got to be discerning and test the spirits and overcome. And so because John writes similar content in chapter 4, let's look there and see what he says about this spirit of the Antichrist. So chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. He writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus, confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." See, it's true that the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world and will continue to be in the world. John says, now is in the world. So back in his day, the spirit of the Antichrist existed and was there. Back in the first century and throughout history, and today, there is the spirit of Antichrist manifesting itself in many, many ways. And the test is, again, does a person believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son, and does he confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? That's verse 2, right? It all goes back, as I mentioned even last week, that when we first opened this little letter from John, this epistle, and we told about his eyewitness testimony of I've heard him, I've seen him, I've touched him, right? All of that, it was his proof that Jesus came in the flesh, because some were teaching that Jesus is just a spirit, he's a ghost, and he was just a phantom, he really didn't have flesh. And so John reiterates the importance of believing that Jesus is fully man and fully God. I don't understand all the depth of the doctrine of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but I believe it by faith, that he is 100% man. He is 100% God, and when he was on earth, he humbled himself and didn't exercise all of his attributes of deity, but he could have. Fully God, fully man. That is orthodox Christian teaching. And so we need to understand what Scripture says about Jesus, because the cults, that's what they focus on, is the identity of Jesus Christ. And that's where they twist doctrine, biblical doctrine. So we got to know what the Scripture says about Jesus. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I look at it this way, church. Let's watch the doors, the front doors, the back doors. What do I mean by the front doors? Well, examine what you hear from preachers and teachers, what you see on Christian websites. Examine it. Be discerning. That's the front door, right? The back door is also watch just what you experience in your daily life of social media and the internet, what friends and loved ones and well-meaning people say about topics about who Jesus is. Guard yourself. Watch those front doors and back doors. It's kind of like the Bible talks about a special group of people. It was one of the churches that the Apostle Paul planted, and it's called the Berean Church, right? And the Bible says something really special about the Bereans, that they were more noble in nature. Why? Because they examined the Scriptures to see if what the Apostle Paul was teaching was correct. Can you imagine checking up on the great Apostle Paul? But they did. They examined the Scriptures day by day, teaching by teaching. Well, we're minded, chapter 2, verse 27, we've got the anointing. The anointing teaches us about everything the Bible says. So how does this play out? How does this anointing play out? Well, in modern day life, it is the Holy Spirit and His Word. That's how we can discern truth. That's how we can sense the spirit of the Antichrist, and no matter how it works. You know, the Bible is so clear, isn't it? Isn't it a gift of God to us that God can clearly teach us about Himself and His Son through the Word? I like what Leonard Sweet wrote. We don't worship the Bible, but the Bible is our compass that always points to our North Star. And who is our North Star? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the bright and morning star. And so God works through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had that thing happen in your life where you just sense something wasn't right? It just didn't feel right? That could be the Holy Spirit in that anointing that we're talking about. He's communicating with you. He is a filter. You know, the other day in my vehicle, I was checking the air filter, you know, so I took the cover off, lifted the air filter up to make sure it was clean and all that. Well, your vehicle has quite a few filters if you think about it, right? It's got the air filter, it's got an oil filter, it's got a fuel filter, it's got the cabin compartment filter, it's got all kinds of filters, right? And those filters, their purpose is to filter out impurities. And I kind of liken the Holy Spirit as the same way, that when we have that anointing of the Holy Spirit, He becomes this filter, and we can sense, because He's teaching us, He's counseling us as we go through our daily lives, and He can show us and give us that sense, hey, something is wrong here. I'm going to check the Word on that one, because something isn't lining up. So I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is our filter. So we're called to be discerning. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Verse 4. Remember your identity. You are from God as a true believer, and you have overcome. You've overcome. He says in verse 4, you have overcome who? The Antichrist. Anytime you stand up for truth and you teach truth and you live truth and Jesus is your Lord, and you've got the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are overcoming the spirit of the Antichrist in the world. You're defeating that spirit. You're overcoming. And isn't the truth also in verse 4, greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world? I mean, that ought to help you go to bed a little bit better at night and rest comfortably, without worry, knowing that greater is He who is in you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, than he who's out in the world, and that is the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, the devil himself, and demons. The one who indwells you is greater. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You can claim your love-based identity in Jesus Christ, and you can discern the truth. Church, I believe in you because of Christ in you. Well, allow me to close with this illustration. I just saw this video the other day on YouTube. I don't even know how it popped up, but I like history. Maybe that's why, because I've watched some historical videos. But this one was about, it was a testimony, an interview with Adolf Hitler's maid. And it was really an amazing story. At the time this was made, it was like back in 2014, and she was 92 years of age. Her name is Elisabeth Kahlhammer. And she just shared about when Nazi Germany took over Austria, where she lived. At that time, she and her family and everybody in the community, her city, were poor. She said, I had never been truly full, my hunger satisfied. Enrolled the Nazis, and they were giving out goulash, food to people. And so the people are thinking, well, this won't be too bad to have Germany take over Austria. That might be a good thing. And then she heard of this opportunity to serve at this mountain mansion retreat of the Führer, Adolf Hitler, the Berghof. They were interviewing for maids. She interviewed, and lo and behold, this innocent 19-year-old woman got the job, and she became a maid at this Berghof, where Adolf Hitler retreated and had meetings and entertained his cabinet and famous people like Mussolini from Italy. She got the job. Well, she was immediately told that what happens at the Berghof stays at the Berghof. You don't speak unless you're spoken to, and you may never, ever speak to the Führer. But she tells about her time there and what she had to do. And she remembers important people coming and going. And she remembers Adolf Hitler would stay up till 4 a.m. And before he went to bed, he would go into the kitchen, and they had to have prepared for him Führer cake. It was a specially prepared cake for him. And he rarely got to bed or got out of bed until 2 p.m. That came back to haunt him, by the way, on D-Day with the invasion in the morning and the landing at Normandy, and he's asleep. And they were so afraid of him that his officers were afraid to awaken him. But anyway, she tells these stories, and the Christmas gift that she got, a bunch of wool to make socks for troops on the front line. And she remembers his girlfriend, Eva Braun, and that she was required to address her as Heil, Merciful Lady. So she shared in this video all these memories, but she talked about how good it was there. She didn't know what else was going on. And she had all this good food to eat, and she had a job, and she got to see important people, and she had privileges. There was girls' night out at Hitler's private cinema on the estate. She got to watch movies, and she said, really, the people there were good to me. What she didn't see was the evil nature of Adolf Hitler. It was hidden from her. She did not discern what was going on in that part of the world and around the world. She didn't know anything about the concentration camps and the 6 million Jews. She didn't discern that Adolf Hitler very much and a lot of those in his regime were evil people doing evil things. She was blinded. She was deceived. I share that as a warning that it is easy to be deceived. But the Bible should give you confidence today that you don't have to be deceived. Why? True believers have the Spirit of Christ indwelling them, the anointing to teach them all truth. And you have God's Word. Let me ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? The spirit of Antichrist says that he was a good man, he was a prophet, maybe even a savior, but not God. And you can believe about him, but you can't believe in him. In the end, everything rises and falls on the question, what are you going to do with Jesus. Let's pray. God, I pray for my church family. I love them so much. And for guests joining in today. And I pray they would very much answer this question. What are they going to do with you, Jesus? Did you truly come in the flesh? Are you truly God? And do you truly offer eternal life for those who will believe in who you are and what you did, that you paid the price of our sin on the cross, and you offer eternal life as a free gift? God, I pray that individuals would reach out and trust you now, and all of us would have the confidence that we do not have to be deceived. Thank you for this, God. In Jesus' name, amen.